We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you. If you'd like to help support these Word of Life podcasts, please go to the Contributions tab at WOLC.com.
Amen. Amen. You can go with me, please, to Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. And there is an excitement in the air, is there not? We are getting ready to launch an expedition. What we've been doing the entire first month of this new year is gathering climbers. We're getting ready to climb Mount Beatitude. We've been gathering at base camp, checking out our gear, getting into our various climbing groups, and we're getting ready to scale this mountain. It's an expedition. It's going to be an 8-week expedition that will lead us all the way to Easter. And we're calling it Red Letter Living. If you have a Red Letter Edition Bible, you will notice that Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is almost all red letters. And what we're going to try to do is we are going to try to pay attention to these red letters in a way that we might live them. We'll have to discuss it among ourselves. We'll have to talk about it. We want to try to find a form of Christianity that does not marginalize the red letters, as we are prone to do, but embraces the red letters. So we're calling it red letter living. And by the way, this is not a self-improvement project. It's not a solo self-improvement project. You're going to need to climb this mountain with other climbers. And that's why we got our Red Letter Living Connect groups launched, and we're excited about that. So let's get started. Over the next 8 weeks, we will look at the 8 Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes? I guess that would be the place to begin. What are the Beatitudes? Well, first of all, the word itself, Beatitude. You won't find that word per se in the Bible. So what do we mean by Beatitude? Well, it's just from the Latin Beatus, which is the word for blessing. 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 These are the 8 blessings that Jesus proclaimed in his prophetic prologue to his most important sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes. I would like for you to memorize them. This is the kind of things that disciples do with their rabbi, you know. The rabbi will give them poetic passages to memorize. It would be fantastic if everyone in this church would memorize the Beatitudes. It's not hard to do. You know, it's just these 8 statements. Blessed are the pure, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons and daughters of the living God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're going to be looking at. That's what we're going to be studying together for the next 8 weeks. The prophetic prologue, the pronouncement of an 8-fold blessing as Jesus introduces his most important sermon. I share with you a scandal, though. The scandal is this. The scandal is how the Sermon on the Mount has been neglected, ignored, and marginalized in evangelical Christianity. To the extent that I am suspicious that there may be ulterior motives at work. There may be something in this sermon that puts us ill at ease, and we would like to push it off to the side. But the Sermon on the Mount will not allow us to do that. For those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, we are obligated to pay attention to his most complete and most important sermon. If we're interested in anything at all as we gather together week by week in these Sunday morning gatherings, we are interested in getting Jesus right. We don't want to craft a Jesus according to our own imagination. We want to get Jesus right. We want to understand Him as He is. Say amen. Yes, amen. Can you imagine someone, though, that said, well, I want to make it my objective to understand Martin Luther, but never studied the 95 Theses, his most important work. Or someone that said, yes, I want to make it my objective to really understand Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but never studied the I Have a Dream speech. Can you imagine somebody claiming to be an authority on Abraham Lincoln, but they ignore the Gettysburg Address? That's what we Christians are like if we say we're committed to Jesus, but marginalize the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great crowds were being attracted to Jesus, largely because of the miracles that were swirling around all that He was doing. And the crowds were not just Jewish. If we backed up one verse, we would read that the crowds, they came from Galilee, they came from Decapolis, they came from Jerusalem, Judea. That tells us, if we know the history and the geography, that a mixed multitude of Jews and Gentiles were gathering to Jesus, all kinds of people. The whole gamut, the whole spectrum of humanity was being attracted to Jesus. And when Jesus saw that His ministry was drawing these great crowds, He departed from the shores of Galilee and He began to climb a mountain. And He went up on a high mountain, one of those mountains that surrounds the Sea of Galilee, and He sat down, because that's how rabbis would teach. And His 12 disciples, newly chosen, they formed the inner ring. And Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Beatitudes, to His 12 disciples. It wasn't a sermon that He gave to everyone. He gave it to the 12, but it was about everybody. And everybody else heard it. But Jesus was addressing His words to that inner circle of 12 chosen disciples. But Jesus was talking about the multitude that was experiencing the inbreaking and the arrival of the kingdom of God. So talking about the multitude, Jesus begins speaking to His disciples saying, blessed are those poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus does this upon a mountain, Greek word oros, from which the word oracle comes. A mountain is a good place to receive and give an oracle, a word from God. Of course, it's symbolic what Jesus is doing. Jesus has climbed up on a mountain with 12 disciples, and He is reissuing a new Torah. What is He doing? He is reconstituting, reframing, redefining, reforming Israel. 12 tribes replaced by 12 disciples. And He is reforming Israel around Himself, and He's given a new Torah that we call the Sermon on the Mount. I want to read that passage of Scripture again, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3, from Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. He translates it like this. When Jesus saw His ministry drawing huge crowds, He climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to Him, the committed, climbed with Him. Arriving at a quiet place, He sat down and taught His climbing companions. This is what He said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rules. A few more things about the Beatitudes in general, and then we will begin to look at this first one. But the Beatitudes are not platitudes. Everybody say, the Beatitudes are not platitudes. Platitude, you know what a platitude is? That is sort of a common sense cliche of typical sentimental wisdom. And the Beatitudes are anything but that. In fact, they're the very opposite of that. The Beatitudes, each and every one of them, there are eight, and they are each and every one of them very deeply counterintuitive. You understand what I mean by that? They're not according to our intuition. They're not according to our instinct. They challenge our assumptions. We are raised in a certain way, scripted in a certain manner. We just have these assumed and shared values. And what Jesus is doing with the Beatitudes is inverting those values. He's turning the world on its head. He's taking everything that we have typically believed and turn it upside down so that the Beatitudes are eight deliberately shocking statements. And if we do not hear the Beatitudes as shocking, and I know we don't today, I know we don't. But if we don't, it's because we're not listening. And we've grown accustomed. And we've turned these radical, subversive, undermining the values of Babylon statements into nice, tame cliches. In fact, we even change the way we pronounce the word just to make it sound antiquated. We say, blessed are the poor. We should say it this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it just, see, sentimentality is a way that we marginalize Jesus through religion. We take the power and the guts and the force and the radical nature out of his words by being sentimental with it. Jesus is not giving us nice, tame platitudes. He's not giving us anything that is cliche. He is giving us something that is deeply subversive. In fact, living the Beatitudes is the thing that will put you on a collision course with Calvary. Somebody's saying, is it too late to withdraw? No, it's not, but I'm hoping you're going to hang in there anyway. Because, by the way, this journey is not leading us just to Good Friday. This journey is leading us to Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. All right, well, let's look at this first of the eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, the Beatitudes are not, as we have grown accustomed to thinking about teachings, as we would call them, that we find in the Bible. The Beatitudes are not teachings, and they're not advice, and they're not instruction, and they're not commands, and they're not qualifications. They are simply an announcement, but a shocking announcement. Jesus is announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God among men present here and now. There had been a growing, building anticipation really for a couple of centuries about the reign and rule of God breaking in among men. John the Baptist said it's almost here, and now Jesus comes and announced that it is happening with my presence. And he is making an announcement concerning the kind of people that are going to experience in a favorable way the arrival of God's kingdom, that is God's reign and rule among men. That is, as God in Christ forms an alternative society around Jesus, announcements are being made concerning what kind of people are going to be happy about this. In fact, the word blessed does have something to do with happy. It also has something to do with sharing the divine life. That's another point I don't think I'll get into in this service. But Jesus is making an announcement about the kind of people that are going to hear the announcement of the arrival of the kingdom of God as good news. So in the first Beatitude, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Because you're going to see in these Beatitudes, it really is an inversion of values. Because we don't talk about the poor, or the mourner, or the persecuted, or the hungry, etc., as being blessed. So what's going on here? All right, this first Beatitude, come on, saints of God, don't overthink it. Here's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are you people who are poor at being spiritual. You are going to like this kingdom that I'm bringing to you. You people who aren't very good at being spiritual, cheer up. You're going to like this. I got something for you. You people who are not experts and pros and aficionados at being spiritual, hey, don't worry about it. This is for you. You people who are not very good at being super spiritual, cheer up. You're getting in this thing. Absolutely. Give you a front row seat. You're going to be, this is something you can do. This is something you can be a part of. Now, there are people who are rich in spirituality. There are people who are poor at being spiritual, or we could say it this way. There are people who are poor at spirituality. By the way, that's most people. Every society has sprinklings of talents. There are the musicians that excel and became famous, perhaps, in their culture and society as musicians. There's the athletes. There's the academics. There's the people with various talents and abilities. Spirituality is kind of a talent. And there are people that are just good at it. So that every society has its priests, its shamans, its gurus, its spiritual experts. But it's a minority. Most people, I might be one of them. I might just be good at being spiritual. And Jesus' announcement then says nothing to me. There's nothing wrong with being spiritual. If you're good at being spiritual, nothing wrong with that. It's just that Jesus has nothing to announce to you. His announcement is to those that are poor at being spiritual. I don't think you're with me yet. Here's how you know. Here's one sign. It's not the only way. It's one sign. You're at your family reunion. They've come from seven states. You're at the park. There's potato salad. Cousins and aunts and uncles you haven't seen for a year, they're all there. And now you're just about to officially begin the big picnic, but somebody needs to pray. If they pick you, it's because you are good at being spiritual. They have identified you as one of those people that's just rich in spirituality. How many of you are the one that gets picked at your reunion to pray? Uh-huh. Okay. Me too. Let me tell you something. We are the unusual ones. Because most people are more like this. Let's see. To pray in public in front of a group of people or be thrown into a pit of snakes. I don't know. It's a toss-up. Most people would rather do just about anything than pray in front of a group of other people. They're poor at being spiritual. They're just ordinary people. And Jesus says, hey, all you people that don't like to get called on to pray at the dinner because you're not very good at being spiritual, good news! This kingdom is for you. The kingdom of the heavens that is breaking in among men. You're going to like this. This is going to suit you just fine. This has something to do with why the experts and the pros at being spiritual weren't so excited about Jesus. Now, I know in our day, the pros and the experts at being spiritual can sort of take Jesus as their own, you know. Took him under their arm and run with it. But in Jesus' actual day, when he was present among us in a physical way, announcing his kingdom, it's very ironic that the pros and the experts at being spiritual didn't much like Jesus because they saw what he was doing and they kind of had the feeling, it just seems to me like you're just being rather indiscriminate about this. Seems to me that you're just saying that everybody's getting in. Seems to me that you're saying about that being really super duper spiritual doesn't give you an inside track with God. To them, it just seemed like Jesus was lowering the standard so that everybody could get in good with God. Let's see, that's why this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is an inversion of values, because everybody knows. Everybody knows it's those super spiritual people that are in good with God. Everybody knows. It's those people that like to display their spirituality and are comfortable and good at it. Those are the people that are good with God. Everybody knows that until Jesus announces otherwise. He's announcing who is going to be happy with the kind of kingdom he is setting up. And he's saying, hey, all you people that aren't very good at being spiritual, all right, you're going to like this. Jesus was announcing the favor of God was now indiscriminate. Question. Does that sound like good news to you? If it doesn't, and there will be some, because there will be someone thinking, well, you know, I've been putting a lot of effort into being super spiritual. And if that doesn't give me like bonus points, then what's the point of it all? Here's my translation. The BZV probably won't sell as many as The Message. But here's my translation of the first beatitude. Blessed are those who are poor at being spiritual and are not super spiritual. The kingdom of the heavens is well suited for ordinary people. See, I told you this was counterintuitive and an inversion of values. We tend to think that it's the super spiritual people who get in good with God. But Jesus is announcing good news for those who are poor in spirit. Jesus is going to build his movement around fishermen and not Pharisees. Now, Pharisees were good at being spiritual. Long prayers, phylacteries, the way they talked. A lot of God talk, a lot of praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Well, they didn't say thank you, Jesus. They said thank you, Jehovah. But you know what I'm saying. And the Pharisees, the fishermen, not so much. And Jesus is building his move. See, this is why the Pharisees were resenting Jesus, because they just were convinced that if God is ever going to show up and do something mighty, it's going to be with us. I mean, of course it will be. We're the spiritual ones. And when Jesus is claiming to be the center of what God is doing, but he's doing it with, come on, fishermen. They're not spiritual people. But it's who Jesus picks. Peter, the apostle, Peter. He's a fisherman. And when Jesus chooses him, Peter thinks there's been a misunderstanding. He falls on his knees and says, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. There's been some kind of mistake here. I think you must have me mixed up with somebody else. One of the Pharisees down the road, perhaps. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm a fisherman. I'm not good at being spiritual. I don't like to pray at the picnic. I'm a fisherman. I cuss too much. That's the kind of man I am. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, don't worry about it. I know you're a fisherman. And from now on, you'll be fishing for men. And in the end, what does Jesus do? Jesus tossed Peter the keys to this whole thing. So get it started, Peter. I know you're just a fisherman, but you just get this thing started. I'll give you the keys and you start this thing up. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Now, some of you, I maybe need to put at ease for a moment. Jesus isn't telling you to be poor at being spiritual. In fact, Jesus, and this is going to be hard for you to get your mind around, but just try. Jesus isn't telling you to do anything. He's not teaching you something. He's not instructing you. He's not telling you to do anything. He's just making an announcement. That's all. An announcement of good news for those who are spiritually poor. If you're spiritually rich, fine. There's nothing wrong with being spiritually rich. It's just that Jesus isn't talking to you. Now if you want to start redefining yourself as spiritually poor to get in on this, well, then that's up to you. If you identify yourself, I'm a person that's not very good at being spiritual, you immediately hear this as good news, right? Those of you that are good at being spiritual, you have a couple of ways you can go. You can do either one. It doesn't matter to me. You can either go, he's not talking to me. It's all right. Or you can say, you know what? I want in on this so much, I'm going to redefine myself. Hey, that's me, Jesus. I suck at being spiritual. Are you kidding me? I am so terrible at being spiritual. Are you kidding me? I think I know how to pray. It's probably a complete train wreck. I'm like, you talk about, those fishermen are probably more spiritual than I am. And see, if you got upset because I said suck, then you already know what category you're in, see? See? The fishermen aren't bothered by it, I'll tell you that much. I got out of that so deftly. That was pretty good. All right, so next week you're going to be in your red letter living group. What are y'all going to talk about? Well, here's a couple of suggestions. Something like this, perhaps. We're not going to be made, we're not going to be a church made up of spiritual elite forces. Let's instead be a church made up of ordinary people who receive the grace of God. You know, I've been around a long time. I've been around churches, you know, forever. And I have seen churches that go that route of we are the Green Berets for Jesus. Spiritual elite force. You know how, you know, in the Army, in the military, in the Navy, they have their, you just got your ordinary guys, and then you got your elite forces. And there are churches that want to be the elite forces. I say, let them. They're arrogant and they're very annoying. And they actually think they're doing a lot. They're really not, but don't tell them because it'll spoil all the fun for them. I am more interested in being a church for ordinary people, not elite forces. There are these people that really get very interested in knowing where God is moving, and it's always among them. And then they become very proud about it. They can announce that God's not moving among you. And it's two things. It's arrogant. That's pretty obvious. And it's also very ignorant. In fact, it's not true. One of my friends sent me this between services. I didn't have time to give it to the media department, so we'll just go old school and you just like listen. This is from Henry Nouwen. He said this. There is a great and subtle temptation to suggest to myself or to others where God is working and where not. When He is present and when not. But nobody. No Christian, no priest, no monk has any special knowledge about God. God cannot be limited by any human concept or prediction. He is greater than our mind and heart and perfectly free to reveal Himself where and when He wants. Henry Nouwen. It's very good. So we're not going to be a church that is some kind of spiritual Olympics. You know, the Olympics. Great feats of athletic accomplishment. Let's not be that kind of church. Let's be the kind of church that is not the spiritual Olympics, but it's for ordinary people, and they come and they see what we're doing and they say, I could do that. I could be a part of that. You know, how many of you understand spiritual Olympics? And now competing in the how long you can hold your hands up in worship category. Oh my God, he's had his hands up for 45 minutes. He's going for the gold. There was a man in this church formerly. Some of you will remember this and just try not to let on. Because I'm not trying to pick on him, but it's just too good a story to just leave out because it makes the point. And his spiritual area of expertise was loud singing. Yes, he was a loud singer. And he wasn't just singing loud. He was singing loud so that you would know he was singing loud. It was sort of a demonstration of his great spirituality. Because, you know, I mean, any schmuck can just kind of sing along with the crowd. But, I mean, if we're going to glory, you know, if everybody else is singing, holy, holy, he would, holy, holy, holy. And so everybody would know. And I talked with him. I said, brother, I stood right here. I said, brother, I appreciate your enthusiasm, which was probably a lie, but I was doing the best I could. I said, I really appreciate your enthusiasm, but you know, what you need to do is just kind of be a part. Just flow with the church. Just be content to be one of us. And just join in with the great concert of praise. And because it seems to me like you're kind of
calling attention to yourself. And that has been accomplished. We all know now that you're the loud singer. And so maybe you could just sort of just now just pull back. You've made your point. We know you love God a lot. Just maybe just be a part. Of course, that didn't go over so well. You can find all kinds of areas where it's your opportunity to shine, to show how spiritual you are. And that is the very thing that Jesus is trying to pull away from. He's not saying, blessed are you who can outdo everybody in spiritual athletic competition, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. No. See, when people encounter spiritual elite forces, they may in fact be very impressed. My God, he held his hands up for 45 minutes. I could never do that. I don't want people to come to Word of Life Church and say, my, those people are spiritual. I'm telling you what, I could never do that. I could never be a part, but I am impressed. Rather, I want people to come and say, you know, they seem pretty ordinary. I mean, I just kind of felt like they were people like me. I pray the Lord's Prayer. I could learn to pray the Lord's Prayer. I could do that. I feel like I could be a part of what is happening there. I'm telling you, that is Jesus' announcement. Blessed are you who are poor at being spiritual. This kingdom of the heavens is for you. Good news. Say amen. Well, I mean, if you're just an ordinary person, you don't say amen. So say, you got that right. Or something, whatever it is that normal people say. All right, let's sum up. The Beatitudes are not a list of things to do. Pharisees like that. They just want, give me the rules, give me the list. All right, I got to be poor in spirit. Okay, I'll try. That's not what is going on here. Jesus is not telling you, in none of these Beatitudes is Jesus particularly telling you to be something. He is simply making an announcement concerning who it is that's going to find this kingdom as good news. Because let's be honest, not everybody found this kingdom to be good news. The super spiritual people are like the Pharisees, who like to pray loud and long and call attention to themselves and be the show-offs and show everybody that they were more spiritual than everybody else. They didn't like this. To which Jesus was like, okay, so you don't have to be a part. It's okay. Just don't worry about it. But to those of you who are poor at being spiritual, I have good news. You can get in on this. You can be a fisherman and get in on this. Blessed, fortunate, lucky, lucky. Eugene Peterson, great sage, pastor, author, and scholar, especially a scholar in the biblical languages of Hebrew and Greek. Great, great scholar. He said, I wanted to translate the Beatitudes lucky. Lucky are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Lucky are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. Lucky are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He said, but my publishers wouldn't let me. They said, Eugene, they'll think it's like from Lucifer and all the super spiritual people get upset about it. He said, yeah, but it's really more what the word conveys. It's really more what the word means. They said, we know, but you know, we can't do that. But it works like this. Are you poor in spirit? Are you not very good at being spiritual? Hey, today's your lucky day. Because Jesus is opening the door for people just like you. You can get today. It's your lucky day. Now, if you are being bothered by the word lucky, see, again, once again, you know what category you're in. Super spiritual people, oh, he said lucky. But ordinary people go, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because see, blessed are the poor in spirit. Yeah, that's heard one way. Lucky are you people that aren't very spiritual. You can be a part too. Amen. Stand up with me.
Lucky are you who are not very spiritual. Jesus is announcing that God is on your side too. And he's going to be indiscriminate with his blessing. He says, you know what? Let's just open the thing up for everybody. Let's just let everybody in. Let's let everybody be blessed. Let's let everybody be a part, even those that aren't very good at being spiritual. Oh, isn't that good? I think it is. I think it's good. Okay, I want to do something in closing. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And the people that need to respond to this are the people least likely to. Because I'm going to talk to a minute for the self-identified poor in spirit among us. And so I'm not going to ask you to walk the aisle because that might be a bit much for you. Super spiritual people will walk the aisle, run the aisle. They roll down the aisle if you ask them to. Bow your heads. I'll make this real quick and easy, painless. How many of you here identify yourself as not very good at being spiritual? Just be honest. Just okay. You can put your hand down so nobody knows. It was like what I thought, 80% of the people. It's your lucky day. It's your lucky day. Jesus is inviting you in too. Let me pray for you. You can kind of just pray along, but just let me pray for you. Lord, all those people raising their hands, self-identified as not being very good at being spiritual. And along the way, they've picked up a lot of wrong ideas. A lot of garbage has been heaped upon them. Probably at some point in my past, I was part of heaping it on them. And for that, I apologize. But Lord, I'm very happy today to, in your name, announce to them that it's their lucky day. That people who are not very good at being spiritual, they're poor in their spirituality, are invited. And they can fully be a part. And they will in no way be second-class citizens. That God, you will be indiscriminate in your favor. And you will bless the fisherman as well as the Pharisee. And you will bless the poor in spirit as well as those that are rich in spirituality. That your kingdom now is available to everyone, including those that are no good at being super spiritual. And so everybody pray with us. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am poor in spirit. Not very good at being spiritual. But I've heard the announcement. It's my lucky day. And I believe the good news. And I come into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now clap your hands and praise the Lord.